Welcome to Real Estate Coaching Radio, starring award-winning real estate coaches and number one international best-selling authors, Tim and Julie Harris. This is the number one daily radio show for realtors looking for a no BS, authentic, real-time coaching experience. What's really working in today's market, how to generate more leads, make more money, and have more time for what you love in your life. And now your hosts, Tim and Julie Harris.
Welcome back. So I have a question for you. Well, Julie and I have a question for you. Are you, wait for it, listeners, a text offender? What'd you think I said? You're dirty minds. I said text. T-E-X-T. What'd you think I said? So what we're going to be doing is we're going to be talking about on today's podcast. Really, I think what will be seen as a good etiquette for texting, but also we're going to get into some of the TCPA laws and some of the laws that that can get you in serious hot water with regard to texting. This is going to be a very drilled down, as all of our podcasts are, focused podcast, and it's really important that you pay attention to especially the information as it pertains to the TCPA, and we're going to give you a lot of background on how you can go about making sure that you're texting legally. But the big takeaway is this is going to be a fun podcast.
So are you tired of your text messages causing more confusion than closings in the real estate world? Wondering if you may have offended a prospect? Curious why you're being ghosted at times? Well, we've curated the ultimate guide to texting etiquette for agents. From dodging grammatical gaffes to perfecting your timing, these 10 rules are your secret weapon for text message triumph.
And I have to say, Julie hit the creativity button when she was writing this outline, because some of the things you guys are going to hear are actually pretty damn funny. But really, there's two thoughts to this podcast, how to use it. Number one, if you're a broker, an office manager, a team leader, as always, share this information. Because yes, a lot of it's going to be focused on etiquette. It's going to be, you know, frankly, focused on manners. But the TCPA stuff is also really critical. As you may or probably do not know, if you text as a business, and you are a business, basically, dear listener, you are a, you know, you own a real estate practice, you are a, you know, an entrepreneur. If you text a consumer and you do it illegally, and we're going to give you some color on what that means, you can get serious. I think it's $1,500 per text that you incorrectly send or send without permissions. So it's really important that you pay attention to this stuff. If for no other reason, share this information with agents that may work with you. There were the big brokers, this was maybe 5 years ago, maybe not even that long ago. A lot of them were embroiled in a lot of lawsuits as pertained to this type of thing. And there was tens of millions of dollars that I think were as a result that the brokerages had to pay because agents had been illegally sending texts. I can attest for a fact that a lot of agents are back to sending texts. I received over the weekend probably 3 unsolicited offers from quote unquote investors they were looking for to see if we were interested in selling any of our rental properties, and no, we're not. But all these are, they're people that are illegally texting, got our phone numbers, and they're lead generating listings for agents. And so that's really what the whole scam is, basically. Well, it's not a scam, but it's somebody who's not clearly understanding the jeopardy they put themselves in by illegally texting. So we're going to get to all those detailed points and make sure you do indeed use this information. All of our detailed notes, all the actual specifics are available exclusively on our newsletter. And remember, if you've not registered for that yet, it's free. HarrisRealEstateDaily.com, HarrisRealEstateDaily.com. We're going to start using the newsletter in addition to this podcast as really the pointy end of the stick when it comes to communicating with you guys. So in addition to HarrisRealEstateDaily.com, in addition to the information, our notes from these podcasts, we're also going to have exclusive content. I'm doing 3 interviews with, I think, true real estate influencers this Friday. I did 2 last Friday. That information is going to be available, and those interviews in video format, by the way, are going to be available exclusively on HarrisRealEstateDaily.com. So make sure you subscribe. All right, Julie, let's get to rule number one.
Yes, how to avoid being a text offender. Rule number one, keep it professional, not personal. Save the emojis and slang for your personal chats. In business, we use proper language and leave the LOLs for after hours. Use real words to do real business. So for example, if this is what your text sounds like, you may be breaking number one. You're definitely breaking number one for texting in business. So if it sounds something like this, OMG, I was ROFL when my BFF told me, TBH, about her date last night. It was TMI, but LOL, I couldn't stop laughing. You gotta love things, IRL. Right? Stop doing that. Don't even do any of that in business. Now, if you're talking to your best friend, or maybe you've got some code that you speak with your kid with, that's fine, but not in the business world. So rule number one is keep it professional, not personal. Leave the emojis and the shortened things to the personal stuff.
Well, it's worth mentioning the emojis are sort of like, as soon as the younger generation saw that their parents were learning how to do the IRLs and the rest of it. So as soon as that happened, then they started just using emojis. But all of it is not, it's not proper when you're in a business environment. That's just the thing. Use proper English and grammar and write proper sentences and be professional. And again, these tiny little nuanced differences, you guys will be surprised what a significant difference they make. If all your competitors are sending goofy little emojis and little, you know, IRLs and whatnot, and you are the one that's actually taking time to write proper, you know, sentences and expressing yourself using, you know, real words versus a, you know, whatever silly emoji you were thinking about using, that's going to make a difference, not to everybody, but to some people. And usually those some people are some of the most influential folks on your long-term health of your real estate business. Because you took the little extra time, you're going to attract that CEO, or you're going to attract that person that really appreciated the fact that you were so attentive to detail, and they're going to end up listing a house with you. You guys get it? The little differences make all the difference.
Well, in fact, it's interesting you bring up that point, because it's becoming a way in the business world to pre-qualify who you want to work with, who you even want to respond to. So, and I've had lots of people tell me that you know, they'll skip it if it seems too unprofessional.
Well, it's the next, it's essentially like people will qualify you, or you'll unqualify yourself based on the speed of your lead follow-up.
Yes.
100% of the time. If you want to, new agents, this is the one way you can definitely get an advantage of the, air quoting, more seasoned veteran agents, is to basically be furiously fast with your lead follow-up. It's a whole chapter in our book, Harris Rules. Furiously fast lead follow-up is going to win the day, because it's very simple. Most people work with the first agent that they meet. And usually if you're calling them back right away, you're going to be the first agent that they meet, even if you're in a very competitive landscape, as most of you guys are with, you know, really great agents. So call people back right away and be very attentive to the little tiny details that nobody else pays attention to. That is going to be something that differentiates you.
Very well said. Thank you for that. So rule number two, grammar police on duty. Avoid committing grammatical crimes in your texts. Remember, autocorrect is not your friend, but proofreading is. Check your work before you hit send. There, T-H-E-R-E, T-H-E-I-R, and T-H-E-Y apostrophe R-E are not interchangeable. They actually have different meanings, and it might not be what you intend. Do use punctuation. For example, let's eat grandpa differs from let's eat grandpa.
Well,
you see how using a comma makes a difference.
I'm going to call you out on this. Is proofreading, I'm reading Julie's notes. Is proofreading one word or two words?
Well, Grammarly told me it's one, so I'm going with that.
That looks weird, right?
It does to me too, but I had it with a space in between, and Grammarly corrected me. So,
all right, so
I'm
to that. You're now relying on the Grammarly AI, which, by the way, Grammarly will help you write texts. And obviously, you can put Grammarly on your email and all the rest of it. So we do both use Grammarly. And you also, you can use AI to start helping you write a lot of, you know, essentially messaging for you. But we will warn you, and Julie is maybe going to talk about this, AI is not necessarily the greatest with grammar.
That's true. I think it's still learning. It seems to be still learning.
Well, ChatGPT in particular.
Yes. So you still have to do your own proofreading and just make sure the intent and the meaning of the words are correct. Also, when you're texting, and I've learned this in Puerto Rico, I use it all the time, you can set up a translator to make sure that, again, if you're doing all of this and you're having to translate into a different language, you know, extra double check your proofreading. All right, rule number three, identify yourself. Don't confuse your recipient. Start your texts with your name, even if you've texted them before. Start with your name to avoid confusion. Unless you're texting a psychic, they won't know it's you without a little help. Use your last name so you're not confused with Bob the dog walker, Larry the lazy lender, or someone with a similar phone number who is not you.
Who is that lender? We saw that lender on a billboard as we were driving.
Lori loves loans.
Lori loves loans. So Lori, if you're a podcast listener, we noticed your billboard as we were driving out of the mountains of the Smoky Mountains on our way to the airport to come back home to Puerto Rico.
But yes, she's somewhere in northern Atlanta, LEJ, or somewhere around there. So anyway, shout out to Lori who loves loans. All right, rule number four, timing is everything. Now, we do believe, as you said, in furiously fast follow-up. However, just because you woke up at 2 a.m. with real estate night sweats and want to alleviate your stress by banging out a text does not mean that the other agent, your buyer prospect, your seller client, or the appraiser wants to share in your insomnia. Respect the clock and save business conversations for business hours. This also applies to time zones. 9 a.m. in New York is not 9 a.m. in Hawaii, and there are tons of time zone converter apps, so don't guess.
All right, so let's add some color to that last point. So if you want to have control of your off hours, then you need to put up boundaries when you start a relationship with someone. And one of the things we, you know, this is, we've taught this forever, but on your voicemail and on your emails, and really when you're getting conversations or relationships started with folks, like your voicemail be some iteration of this. Thank you for calling. Your message is very important to me. I will call you back usually within 5 minutes. If you're calling after normal business hours or on the nights or the weekends, then expect my call first, my return call first thing in the morning. Something like that. If you put up, if you set the expectation when you're going to follow up with somebody, and then you, like, say, for example, if you say you're not going to follow up with anyone or in normal business hours, you define what normal business hours are. So if you get somebody that texts you or calls you at 6 o'clock and you call them back at 7, I promise you from now on, in their mind, your normal business hours are at 7 o'clock. So you got to be putting these things in perspective and set these boundaries up. I know it's different when you're trying to win over a client and you're trying to impress them how urgent you are with lead follow-up. I get it. In those types of, you know, environments, you want to change your rules a little bit. But when you're trying to get control of your life, when you're trying to get those nights and the weekends back and set realistic expectations, do get in the habit of, you know, basically putting up those boundaries. And as far as texting, I'm going to add something to this. I don't think I've ever had a good text conversation with anybody after about 7 o'clock.
Right.
Because people start drinking.
I agree. Yeah.
And I've seen that. I've seen in the last 90 days some people who have gotten into verbal fisticuffs.
Yes.
Over drunk texting.
Yes. I've had several coaching clients, several of my elite coaching clients copy a text and say, what in the world does this mean? Or this person doesn't normally act that way. Or doesn't this seem aggressive to you? And it's always those after hours.
Yep.
Or it's worse. It's back to our point that we just made. It's like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning and they're telling me about it on their coaching call. And I will ask them, if this is that far out of that person's normal back and forth, maybe we need to consider the fact that they were under the influence of something. And this is why you want to clarify and be careful that you yourself are not doing anything. I think safely after 6 o'clock, like 6 p.m. to 8 a.m. should be, maybe you even set your, you know how you can set your phone to silence notifications. That might be a good idea. Just make sure you turn it back on and you have your settings correct. Lots of different ways that you can control this.
Just to, you know, guys, this gets back to like basic, you know, manners and grammar. I'm gonna build on what I said. Mm-hmm. So I'll even go as far as to suggest that if you are thinking about, you know, sending a text or sending an email, and it's after, you know, truthfully probably about 5 o'clock, you should hold it for the next day and see if you still want to send it. And I mean of any kind of message. Now, obviously, a transactional message, that aside. But any kind of sales-related message, because you might not be thinking as clearly as you think you are, and you're not communicating as clearly as you think you are. And if you reread that message in the morning, you're going to be so glad you didn't send it. And again, that goes with emails, that goes with texting, that goes even with some social comments too. I haven't read these recently, but if you read on when the socials come out talking about when most people post, it's obviously when they're not working on, you know, X and Facebook and all the rest of it. But when you read where most of the people put up terse, sort of controversial posts, they're almost always during the same times of the day when you know they should have probably, you know, been curbing the send button until the morning.
And maybe it's not even because they were drinking or smoking something. Maybe they were just really tired. Maybe they had a really long day, or they just had an argument with their kid or their spouse or their boss or whatever. So you kind of have to give people a break towards the end of the day.
You do.
All right. Rule number 5, get straight to the point. Don't beat around the bush in your texts. Be as clear and direct as possible. Remember, we're not writing mystery novels here. Less is more. You can get backburnered, lowered in priority, or deleted when you write too much. Don't make it such a heavy lift for your readers. If you've got something really long, maybe you're in the midst of some, you know, inspection negotiation and there's a lot of detail, you need to either use email or call the person.
Well, let's expand on that. You can also send a video and text quite easily, as a lot of you guys know.
That's a great solution.
Yeah, a great solution. Again, well, also, you can use, you know, voice to text. You can record that your most of your text widgets will record your voice, and the accuracy is pretty damn good, and then translate it to a text. But really, the video texting thing is really good, and it's kind of fun, too, because if you're responding to someone's text on video, and you're walking around and you're, you know, doing your busy stuff, and they're seeing that, they're getting the impression that, wow, I must be important because you took the time to send me a little video and send it back to them. That type of thing makes a difference. It's these little nuanced differences that will win the day at the end of the day when it comes to building a long-term, very profitable real estate business.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think videos are automatically prioritized.
Yeah.
It makes people curious because you can't just read what it's about.
Well, you're right. When you get a text video, it's going to be something that, you know, obviously someone went through a lot more effort. And of course, we're talking about traditional text. If you're using WhatsApp or using Signal, and there's a lot of these other widgets, essentially the etiquette works the same. But the main thing is just we're hoping that you understand that it's all at the thing that matters most is your ability to have clear, concise communication with folks. And texting is nice, too, to Julie's previous point, because the expectation is that you're going to be direct. So some of you who have a tendency to be overly direct, well, texting is the greatest thing for you, you know, for
yes,
sure.
That's right. All right. Rule number 6, privacy, please. Keep confidential information from your text conversations. You don't want to sway a negotiation wrong, overshare, or breach your agency relationship. No negotiation should be done via text.
Ever.
Now, and I looked this up. Here's a note to self. States have different laws about what constitutes an agreement, a digital signature, or a contract. There's lots of different definitions of that. I don't know why you would even research it. Just because you have E&O insurance doesn't mean you should have to use it. So just err on the side of confidentiality. That type of thing should be in a contract anyway. That way you can refer back to it. If there's any conflict, you can say, well, we're going to do what the contract says.
And remember, if you text something to somebody, or even send them a video for that matter, but when you text something to somebody, they could take your comment out of context, and they could use it in some, you know, adversarial way. You don't know. And that happens all the time in mass media, where they'll take some little snippet of what somebody said completely out of context. Assume that more stuff like that's going to be happening as AI becomes more prolific and normal. I was talking with Zoe last night. Mm-hmm. And Zoe, you guys will appreciate this. What was her writing assignment? She had to write why kids should be allowed. And remember, she's in the fourth grade.
Well, first, she had to choose the topic, right? So, of course, she comes up with why fourth graders should be allowed to have smartphones at school. So, yes, and she had to have supporting reasons, an intro, 3 supporting reasons, and a conclusion.
Well, so she came up with all the normal things you'd say. Well, so that I can communicate with my parents, and so I can find my friends. And then she knows a little bit about ChatGPT, but I showed her a lot yesterday. And I said, Zoe, do you know you could do ChatGPT and have it on your phone and on your iPad? And she's like, no. And I said, do you know that you can actually, you know, have a conversation voice to voice with AI? No. I said, so Zoe, and I was just joking with her, but this is the level in which she took it. I said, so imagine you're in a classroom and some teacher gives you some, you know, onerous writing assignment that's super long and complex. It's going to take hours to, you know, you could just whisper into your buddy ChatGPT's ear, you know, on your iPhone or whatever, what the assignment is and have it done in milliseconds. And then she ran with that like you can't believe.
I just thought that was the best idea ever. I think she's going to, she mentioned it this morning, actually. I think she's going to try and sneak that into her supporting arguments. Although that does incriminate her for her future plans.
Oh, and you know, if we get in trouble, we got called into the principal, or actually her teacher's office. We got called in for a reason that was hilarious. But anyway, so that, yeah, at Zoe's school, they don't tell the parents why they're supposed to be coming in. They just say, we had an issue with Zoe over this date and this thing. And then they'll kind of give you the temperature of the problem. Like, it's not like, you know,
she's not in the hospital or anything.
Exactly. But no, you have to be here. They don't give you like a choice of when it would be good for you to stop over. They'll say today at 11 o'clock.
We'll see you then.
And then they frog march you as a parent into the kids' classroom, and you have to sit around at little kids' tables and chairs. We're all like giants amongst these tiny little chairs. You guys get it. And then that's where they have these sweat sessions where they're kind of like telling you whatever your kid did or didn't do.
Yes. And you know, related to this, I happened to ask why it was that it wasn't just me. It was the last meeting that all the parents went to. We were wondering, why is it that you don't just tell us in an email when you're calling us in what's going on? Because it causes a fair amount of stress as you're waiting for your set appointment to arise.
Well, not stress for us. We think it's hilarious.
Most of the time.
Yeah.
And they said it's actually a school policy because, related to our topic today, they don't want something to be circulated, misconstrued,
right,
or overshared. And their policy is if it doesn't apply to a different kid, we're not going to mention it. And for that reason, we don't put detail because we don't want it to be floating around. I thought that was actually a pretty good policy. All right. So rule number 7, furiously fast lead follow-up. You mentioned it earlier in the podcast. Speedy replies are the superhero of business texting. Don't keep your colleagues waiting like they're stuck in a never-ending queue. Fast fingers save the day. Urgency could mean winning or losing a deal. So yes, furiously fast lead follow-up, or text follow-up in this case. I think sometimes agents, when they're going back and forth, will sit on something as maybe an aggressive play or trying to ghost each other. You have to be careful with that. Keep the ball rolling, even if it's not going your way. You still need to be responding.
You know, it's funny, Julie. So, we've been associated with eXp Realty for 5 years. And a lot of the folks that have joined with us at eXp, have partnered with us at eXp, have our podcast listeners, and they're obviously Premier Coaching, you know, clients and the rest of it. A lot of them have been with us in one form or another for decades. Well, I always tell folks, you know, as I'm going to tell you guys now, when you're ready to move up eXp Realty, whether you're an individual agent, you're a team, you know, you're wanting to form a team, you're a broker, it doesn't matter. eXp Realty is the next natural step because of all the, let's just call it what it is, fairly radical changes that have been happening in the housing economy, right? I mean, housing has been in a recession now going on 3 years, and there's no doubt that it's pulling itself out, and we're going to see the return of a boom market with a whole bunch of caveats and changes. And a lot of brokers are going, I do not want to have to deal with all these changes in the industry. Yes, I'm talking about you, Mr. Commission Sharing Lawsuit, and some of the other things that are happening later this year. So the moral of the story is virtually everyone's having a conversation now, or should be, about moving up to eXp Realty. And if that's you, which it should be, whether you're a brand new agent or a seasoned veteran, here's what I want you to do. Text me directly at 512-758-0206. Text me at 512-758-0206. And here's what you'll experience. Unless I'm on a podcast or on a plane, well, even on planes, I'm going to text you back right away and we're going to start a conversation. And no, it is not an AI bot that's doing the reply texting. It's really me, so you don't need to ask. That's how seriously I take your texting to me about joining with us at eXp Realty. If you're just getting started on the journey and you want to learn more about eXp Realty and why you'd want to join with Julie and I and our group at eXp, scan down in the show notes in the description of today's show, and you'll see a link where you can learn more about our, the reason why, frankly, thousands of agents are aligning with Julie and I at eXp Realty. And the website, in case you're curious, is ylibertas.com/Harris. But the easy button is just to scroll down below and click the link. And again, if you're ready to land the plane and you're looking for a sponsor who will be very proactive in your success at eXp Realty, we're formally applying for that role. So text me directly at 512-758-0206.
All right, so if you don't want to be a text offender, rule number 8, subject lines are the spice of texts. Spice up your texts with descriptive subject lines. Think of them as the appetizer to your message, tantalizing and informative. Make the recipient want to keep reading. So for example, perhaps you're going to text your buyer a congratulations in a competitive bid situation. You might say victory exclamation mark, we won. Now, I personally think it's better, maybe you do both, but I think that should be a personalized call. Remember, you're trying to build relationships, build repeat and referral business, but do make it something that they're dying to open.
Well, again, leaning back into the video idea too.
Yes.
But there's a lot of little interesting shortcuts. And again, we're just talking about traditional texting. But if you do congrats with an exclamation mark, it puts a little fireworks show on the recipient's screen. So there's a lot of little widgets like that that are already built into your texting thing that I think you guys might be surprised to know how to use. This is a good place to interject about the TCPA stuff, okay?
Yes, please do.
All right, so here's the deal. A lot of agents are making the mistake of spam texting. And I want you guys to do most of your research on this, because by no means are Julie and I experts at this. We're not attorneys or anything that's, anywhere near what you guys should be considered as your go-to information about TCPA. I want to put that out there. So what you need to do, and all of you should be doing this, is Googling TCPA texting rules, and then also TCPA website opt-in form rules. So texting first. If someone lands on your page and they are asked to put in a phone number, and you don't tell them that you're going to text them, you're going to be hypothetically in violation of the TCPA. You are a business, and if a consumer is contacting you, that's going to be potentially in violation of the TCPA. Now, that's a $1,500 fine per text from what I understand. So what you need to do is follow best practices on how, if you're going to want to build a text list, there are lots of rules. So you need to make it so when they come to your forum, your website, and they are opting in to receive a text from you, that they then have the actual disclosures as far as what they're going to be receiving as far as a text, as far as what, how many texts and how frequently. That has to all be disclosed. And you have to make it's long. I mean, all the, You have to tell them how many times you're going to be messaging them. You have to tell them the frequency and all the rest of it. So texting is such an easy thing to screw up and make a mistake because the rules are so specific. Like, for example, if they say if you pre-check your opt-in box, it's already checked. You're going to get in trouble for that. If it's not really super clear, best practices, how to make it so somebody can opt out of your text campaign, you're in trouble for that. And the list goes on and the list goes on. My advice to everyone when they're asking if they should start text campaigns, I say limit it to the people who directly text you, as in I just asked you guys to text me to my phone number, but don't use texting for marketing unless you know for sure you're using the state-of-the-art texting, you're following the laws and the guidelines exactly. Because it's too expensive of a mistake to learn the hard way. That's really the bottom line. Now, I'm going to add to this. Again, I gave you guys the keywords to research this yourself. And brokers, office managers, everybody, if you have a buyer agent who's working for you that's sending out group texts to all the buyer leads that they have in their CRM, let's say, and they don't have explicit permissions from those folks to send texts, you're going to have problems. And then most likely that problem is because this person's in your brokerage, your team. It's not going to be their problem. It's going to be your problem because that's your agent. So just keep all these things in mind. Now, expanding on this, there's another rule that's starting towards the end of this year that's also part of the TCPA that has to do, and we've warned you guys about this, but it has to do with online opt-in forms. And here's this typical scenario, what they're trying to basically prevent from happening anymore. All right, so I'm going to give you guys a real salient example because I think all of you will experience this, especially if you're buying buyer leads. So a consumer goes to somehow they find an ad for, homes for sale in my area, off-market listings. You guys have seen these types of things. So the consumer goes there and they put in their information. This is traditionally how it's worked. They put in their name, they put in their email, maybe they fill out, five questions or whatever. And then that lead is then sold. Now, here's what's actually happened. That lead is sold not to one agent, but up to 20 different agents over a long period of time. So maybe there's five agents that get that lead initially. And then what happens is that those leads then are also sold to companies that are going to sell those leads. It's kind of almost convoluted to describe. This is how it works. So the lead of the consumer wanting information about real estate, that lead is then obviously sold to agents who might be able to sell them a house. But that lead is also sold to a company that's then going to resell that lead to, yes, more agents, but also maybe ancillary service providers.
Like mortgage guys and stuff like that.
Movers, roofers, yeah. Because the thinking is going to be, well, if this person's thinking about buying or selling, they must need a mortgage or they must need a moving company or they must need all those types of things. You guys get it? And so the lead, one simple lead on one simple form is sold hundreds of times. And those people are receiving messaging from those lead selling, from essentially that, one experience, one opt-in form for who knows how long. Julie and I still to this day are receiving messages for health insurance. Julie filled out some form a long time ago. I'm talking years ago when Obama was president. And that lead got sold and resold and still being sold. Oh, they must still be interested in health insurance. So yes, the law that's going to be put in place as we understand it. And if you're at eXp Realty, they're already training all their agents to make sure they're are following these guidelines, is that when a consumer lands on your real estate lead generation site, and it's just yours and that lead only goes to you, you're fine. Okay. So no major changes. We understand it. But if they land on one of these platforms, Zillow, Realtor.com, all these companies, OpCity, all these companies you guys buy leads from, which you should not be buying leads, by the way, but that's not for today's conversation. What's going to happen is that a consumer is going to land on the site. They're going to ask for information about homes for sale in their market, whatever. And then the opt-in form is going to then force the consumer to choose which agent in the pull-down menu that they want their information shared with. Now, I want you to think about what I just said. Again, our interpretation of how this guideline works, I think it's an FTC thing, is that the consumer has to decide who specifically they're going to have their information shared with. So all the agents, let's say there's 10 agents that are buying leads from that particular company, that consumer is going to have to choose who they want that lead shared with. And there are no shortcuts. It seems like the FTC was making sure there's no check one box, it covers all. The consumer has to choose who in the pull down they want the lead shared with. Now, how does this adversely affect the industry? Well, agents who are buying leads, I don't really understand how those lead selling companies are going to be in business anymore, because how many consumers are going to, when filling out the form and then faced with, you know, the list of 10 or 20 or 30 or 100 agents, how are they going to choose who they want their information shared with? You know, how is that going to actually work out for the sake of the lead selling companies? A lot of these lead selling companies are going to have relationships with only 3 different agents or 5 different agents, a very small number, because then it'll increase the likelihood of the consumer actually completing the form. Well then, dear listener, what's that going to do to the cost of those leads? You're going to talk about agents who are now, because they don't know how to be proactive lead generators, are going to end up spending hundreds of dollars for a snick and buyer lead, of which they could get dozens of them if they were listing agents. Now, who knows how this is actually going to sort itself out towards the end of the year, but do know radical changes coming your way for the sake of online lead. You know, maybe you're not an online lead generator yourself, but you probably are buying buyer leads, or someone on your team or your brokerage is. Make sure that they're aware that business model definitely is going to be in question within a matter of months. And going back to texting, I gave you best practices on that. Your homework, if you're wanting more drill down on this, and Julie's got 2 more points for you, are definitely going to be to do your own research, Google what I just told you, and then you can become your own armchair expert.
Very well put. There's a lot in everything that you just said. So please, listeners, do your own research. Rule number 9 of not being a text offender, receipt required. Don't leave your sender hanging. Let them know that you've received their message loud and clear. Nobody likes to feel like their texts are lost in the abyss. And you know, texts do get lost in the abyss. It doesn't go through. You get that exclamation point sometimes. Don't be the ghost in the relationship. So maybe all you need to do is use your voice to text app, essentially, to text them back and say, got your message, I'm driving, we'll respond in 20 minutes.
Right.
Let them know you got it, because otherwise you're putting that person in the position to be constantly looking at their phone, wondering if you even got their message. Well, that's just bad manners.
The phones, iPhones in particular, know that you're driving, and they'll then make it so that any texts that come in, unless you have this widget turned off, will send an automatic response. You can write what the automatic response is. I'm driving right now, I'll text you as soon as I have a chance to. And again, there's going to be a lot of very cool AI that's going to be integrating with all these forms of digital communication that's going to help you guys with the urgently, you know, the furiously fast lead follow-up. Because you're going to be on a plane, you're going to be in the bathroom, you're going to be on a listing presentation. So there's going to be some really cool widgets that are going to come around. The ones that I'm most excited about are the ones that are going to be AI creating. Listen to what I'm about to say, listeners, because this, I know for a fact, is underway. AI, so someone's going to text you, hey, Julie, it's Bob. I'm interested in the house at 123 Elm Street, whatever the text is. Okay. Maybe it's an agent. Maybe it's a consumer. So the AI is going to recognize that it's an agent, and this is an agent looking for information on one of your new listings. It's going to send a customized voice using your voice and video using your likeness that's indistinguishable back to that person that just texted you with a message based on the information that it knows that's gathered from that person that texted you and the information it knows about that particular listing, because it was able to go onto your onto the website and see that the listing is still available, right? So the AI is going to absolutely be making your life easier and act as a true high-level virtual assistant. But what's really going to be fun is that virtual assistant is going to be perceived as you.
That is going to be very cool.
And it is.
I don't know. You have to keep an eye on that too and maybe proofread it back. It's going to be very interesting. And subpoint rule number 9A, your car may help you on this. I noticed, and I think maybe this is a CarPlay thing. Maybe it's something the car did, or I don't know, maybe you did it. I've been driving and it'll say, text message from Tim Harris, respond.
That's
and all I have to say is yes or no. And if I say yes, it'll say, what would you like me to say? I don't have to take my hands off the wheel. I don't have to look around. I don't have to grab my phone. So maybe your car is part of your assistance.
That's CarPlay.
Is it CarPlay?
Yeah.
Well, make sure you got to set it up. I think it's really cool. I use it all
definitely.
The time. All right. Rule number 10, call for backup. If the conversation gets too complicated or sensitive, it's time to call in the cavalry. That's switching to a phone call or a face-to-face chat. Sometimes old school methods are still best, especially when it's more complicated. Remember, you don't want to have anything misconstrued, oversharing, you know, confidentiality rules and all that. And then we have a bonus rule. This is my favorite one. Just pick up the phone in the first place or set up a coffee, lunch, or brunch. Nothing beats face-to-face meetings for clarity and connection. So with these rules in mind, you won't be a text offender. Check your work, monitor that you're not breaking these rules, and when in doubt, just make the call.
So the way to think about this is it's okay to be texting as your primary source of conversation when you're working with folks that are helping you with the transaction, it's probably never okay, especially if you're selling more expensive real estate, to be using text as your primary source of communication when you're dealing directly with your customers. Most agents, 99% of the agents won't hear what I just said, and they're going to text with everyone. But the way what we're coaching you to do here is remember the little tiny nuanced differences in how you communicate, literally how you communicate, how you present yourself, what you say, how you say it, that's going to make a huge difference. The momentum, the positive momentum you build with folks when the whole world is about texting and the whole world is about emojis and you're the person that they deal with that actually has taken the time to send a personalized video or actually call them to have an actual conversation. Do you guys see how that's actually giving you an unfair advantage in the marketplace? That was really our motivation for today's podcast. So hopefully you're going to apply this in such a way that's going to help you to be of service to more people and help you to make more money. Any closing thoughts?
Well, get into action. Do the research that Tim just told you about. You can find the notes, which you mentioned at the top of the podcast. Post these rules someplace. Check yourself. Really, this is just building the habit of good practices and good text manners.
That's
right. So make sure you follow it.
You guys have a fantastic day. We'll talk with you on the show tomorrow.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.